Now let us turn, though, to the Gospel of Luke. And we're looking at chapter 20, beginning with verse 27. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My guess is that many of you have heard this saying, "The past is history, the future is a mystery, today is a gift." That's why they call it the present. I think that that reminds us, and this passage that I just read reminds us, that we have to be mindful of living in the here and now. There's this notion of mindfulness that has become popular in recent years, and its roots are considered to come from the Buddhist tradition, but it's now become much more of a mainstream idea and a Christian idea. Mindfulness is what we do when we try to remain in the presence. It's a practice. It's not ever anything that we can perfect, but it's an effort that we make with ourselves to draw ourselves out back in from the past or from the future and to get the most of what we can in this very moment. Maintaining one's focus on the here and now is not always easy. There are several things about it that are difficult for me, and I suspect might be difficult for you. Because the moment I sit down to quiet myself, whatever I'm worried about for tomorrow begins to run through my brain. Or maybe it's not tomorrow that runs through my brain, but what I said to some person that might have been unkind or unthinking or might have hurt their feelings, or when I didn't say something that I felt I needed to say in the past, or something that didn't go well, and all those things, once we quiet ourselves, begin to jumble in upon us. At least it does for me. Our anxieties and our worries and our fears tend to take over when we give ourselves a moment of quiet. And we begin to judge ourselves and wish we could be quiet better, or be mindful more perfectly. But mindfulness is not about any of that. It's about being in the moment. So hold on to that thought as we go through the rest of these few minutes together. John and I yesterday went to hear a speaker up in Lockport, New York. Her name was Diana Butler Bass. She's an author and a theologian. She's interested in the practice of faith in daily life and how our practices today are different from our practices 20 years ago, but how history informs what we are doing and where we are today. She talked a lot about how the history of the Western Church and the relationship between the church and the people and God has kind of been one of an up and down relationship. She showed a picture that had a street sign, and at the top was heaven, in the middle was earth, and at the bottom, I forget what word she used, but is the place where things are challenging and we don't know God, and the alternative to heaven is down here at the bottom. And she talked a lot about historically in the Western Church that was connected with science and driven by scientific investigation 400 and 500 years ago, we began to think of that as the way of knowing God. There's up here, there's here where we are now, and down here where we don't want to go. And our hope is that somehow by practicing our faith enough, we can get from here to knowing God up here. It's a very vertical understanding of who God is. That God is something different and far from us and our walk in our daily lives. So she talked to us about that history, and then she talked to us about some recent research that has been published about young people and people throughout the lifespan and their connection to their spiritual lives or to their religion. And she showed us some really great graphs, none of which I have to show you, but what she showed us was that young people are less likely to say that they're connected to a church, but they still believe in God. And when they want to interact with God, where they're more likely to go, instead of a great, beautiful building like ours, they're likely to go to a beach or a hillside or a mountaintop and to spend some time there, feeling the presence of God with them in that moment and in that place, being mindful and in the moment. So it's a much more horizontal and accessible connection that they find with God. They're looking for God in the here and now, not something that many of us grew up with and may have been comfortable with, which is this God that is so far away and up above. The Sadducees, when they were trying to test Jesus, they were the keepers of the temple. They were the ones who kept it clean and pure and let people in and kept people out. And they thought among themselves and decided to ask an impossible question of Jesus. Now, we've been reading through the Gospel of Luke how time and again people come to Jesus with an impossible question, assuming he would somehow make a mistake in his answer. And they took this law, the Levirate law, as it is known, that is in Deuteronomy, that says when a man marries a woman and then dies and she is childless, then a family member, the next brother, should marry that woman. They take that law and they show how it seems to be a little bit ridiculous because brother after brother after brother married the woman and still she had no children. Now, the thought behind this law is that in those days, women had nothing. Without a male protector in her life, she would be destitute, she would be homeless, and she would be left alone without any way to provide for herself. And so part of the law was you can't just leave the women alone with no way to provide for themselves. So this was a way. The family member had to take the woman in so the brothers would marry the woman so that she would have someone to provide for her. But the Sadducees are taking this and saying, okay, so she marries again and again and again and still has no children. Who will she belong to in the next life? Now remember, that first sentence reminds us that the Sadducees say they do not believe in the resurrection. So they ask this question not because they expected Jesus to be able to answer it, but because they wanted to point out that the notion of resurrection was a crazy notion. Their hope was to show the foolishness of that idea. They believed only in what they could read in the Torah. And so they wanted to trip Jesus up by saying, listen, you can't really imagine that we would believe this idea of resurrection is true. But the way Jesus answers is to remind them that when God appeared to Moses, he proclaimed himself to be the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the God of these and the God of all of us is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. So if we can say that this is a God of the living, the God we worship is a God of the living, and what that passage seems to say to us is that those, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are living just as we are living, we don't have to be so worried about the dead. For me and many others, this is not so much a passage about resurrection, but a passage that reminds us to be in the moment, to live in the here and now, to be mindful of our lives. It's a passage that says, don't get caught up in an unknown future, but be here and live in the now. And so we look for ways as people of faith, people who follow Jesus, to encounter God now. People who study the church and think about the future of the church are all convinced that the church, as we know it, is going to be transformed in these next few years. We can tell because we have less people in our pews, we have less income, we can tell that the church is changing and society is changing around it, and that during this period of change, we should be thinking about how we continue to be the church in a new form. We can't expect those who experience God on the side of a mountain or at a sunrise along the water to come here to our building to experience God. We can't expect that they'll find the same experience of God here inside as they might find outside in the wonder of creation. And so our challenge is to figure out how do we find common ground and connection with those who are outside so that we too, together, might be who God calls us to be. We find a sense of truth sometimes as we hear them talk about their experiences, but it's hard for us to let go of the tradition that has been so meaningful to us. The Sadducees were trying to trip Jesus up and show him how absurd some of the tenets of the faith as it was being practiced in their day really were. The young people of today, who seem to be looking for some other kind of church or walking away from church as they experience their spiritual lives, are showing us that some of our practices might be absurd to them. And what we do doesn't always help them connect with God. And so we're called to see if we can be a little bit different. How then shall we practice our faith? Can we practice, as Jesus reminded everyone that day, can we practice being of the moment, being in the living faith, in the here and the now? Can we practice a mindfulness here in this inside and a mindfulness outside as individuals and as families? If we were beginning to practice this idea of mindfulness, the first thing we would do is start paying attention to our breath. It's kind of an individual thing, but it's also a thing that we can practice together, and we can notice how the air feels as we breathe in and we breathe out. Are our breaths shallow or are they deep? Are we fast or are we slow? How does it change when we feel happy or sad or angry or anxious? So we look at our breath, or we think about our breath, as we just sit and remain in the moment. And we consider our senses as well. What do we see around us? What do we hear? Is there something we can smell? How does your body feel? Are your muscles tense? Can you relax that tense part of yourself and breathe more deeply into the moment? What are the things that seem to stick with you and distract you while other thoughts pass you by? And as you do that, you have the opportunity to begin to relax in a new way. You begin to be in the moment. And you might find you have a different feeling within yourself, a space that has opened up, that is empty of the cares of your everyday life, and a place where you have more room for God. Not the God that is way up here and so far away, but the God that is down here in our midst, living in us and through us in the world. Today we celebrate all the saints who have come before us, the pillars of our faith, who have taught the stories and passed them on from generation, who have finished their race in this life, and who have joined together in the next life. And it is so tempting for us to think about that next life, to wonder what's next, to hope and to think that we'll be reunited, even as it demonstrates that in the story of the Sadducees. It's tempting to put our effort there, and it may even be a natural thing to do in our grief, but we worship a God not of the living, not of the dead, but a God of the living. We worship a God of the here and the now. So as we work together, finding a way to create spaces for God to fill in among us, to become the church of the day of today, the church that welcomes those who long to know God now, we too work on being here at this moment, not being distracted by the past, not being distracted by the future, but settling in to this moment we have now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.